mistake of all leading cigarettes. One and only one is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. That one cigarette is Philip Morris. Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, to remind you, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all... Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show with Bert Kelton, Jack Albertson, Mary Schiff, Charlie Irving, Billy Sands, Johnny Gibson, our singing star Dick Farney, the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Brilliant opening.
Tonight we salute Navy Day.
Do you?
The Navy is looking for men to fill important positions on boats.
That's right.
We now bring you a comedian who in the next half hour will lay enough eggs to fill every crow's nest in the fleet. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, you saying that I lay eggs? Why, that hurts me. It really hurts me. I better start laying smaller ones. Go ahead, Mr. Gallup. Go ahead. Laugh at me for laying eggs. But Thursday you'll come around begging for a dozen. I mean that. Some yolk. Well, watch it. What have you got to say for yourself?
What a blow for Princess Elizabeth.
Mr. Gallup, you told the same joke last week and it died.
Burl, a line like that never dies.
No, it has to be beaten to death. Look, Mr. Gallup, the program has just started. Will you save that buff material for later, please? Give me a chance. Won't you?
Won't you?
You know, I have some jokes, too.
Very well. Get on the nest and start hatching.
Again with the eggs. Mr. Gallup, look, I don't mind personal insults. But when you insult the jokes that I tell, you insult Fred Allen, Bob Hope, Burns and Allen, Fibber McGee, and Molly Picon. What am I saying? Will you do me a favor and strike it from the record?
Yes, Burl, I've heard that you are adept at pilfering other comedians' bon mots.
Would you break that up and shoot it to me in English, please?
Gladly. You steal jokes.
Take that back. Take that back, Mr. Gallup. That is nothing but a vicious rumor. A vicious rumor started by a few million people. After all, don't other comedians steal jokes from me? I'd like to think of myself as the middleman between Fred Allen and Henny Youngman. One of Youngman's writers. Youngman's writers. Joe Miller. Mr. Gallup, speaking of jokes,
yes.
You know, jokes, they've been my success, and that's been the secret of my success for years. The average comedian can tell a joke and get just a moderate laugh with it. But I can take the very same joke and get nothing.
Which you have just clearly demonstrated.
Mr. Gallup, please, tonight of all nights, let's not fill the air with insignificant chatter. This is National Radio Week. Just think, this week, radio is 27 years old.
How depressing.
Depressing. You should complain. Leaning there against the microphone in those expensive clothes. If it wasn't for radio, you'd be buying your ties from a pushcart.
If it wasn't for radio, you'd be selling them to me.
Mr. Gallup, stop this eternal joshing. Radio really is amazing. For example, here I tell a joke in New York, and in a split second, there's laughter in Maine, Florida, California.
Oh, come, Burl, your mother doesn't get around that fast.
No, she has a bicycle. A ranger with a sheepskin seat and a klaxon horn. How about that? What's more, on weekends, they let her take off that Western Union plate and use the bicycle for pleasure. How about that, THAT?
Burl, let's get back to the program.
All right.
How about that?
Bad delivery. All right, now. Let us get on, Mr. Gallup. What was our subject tonight?
Your mother's bicycle.
Mr. Gallup! That'll be all. Will you knock off? You've had your quarter of lap for tonight. You shot your bolt. Now, do you mind if I get on with our salute to Navy Day?
Your mother's bicycle.
Mr. Gallup! Ladies and gentlemen, it is with great pride that we now present our salute to my mother's bicycle. Ladies and gentlemen, we salute the Navy. The Navy, guardian of our coastlines. During the war, our Navy was everywhere. You could find American sailors in Iceland, Greenland, Finland. Where do you find American sailors today? Roseland. So let us salute the American Navy. Ladies and gentlemen, the other day, I attended the Navy Day ceremonies on board the USS Brighton in New York Harbor. There, I interviewed Senator J.J. Billingsley, and what Senator Billingsley had to say was so important that we want you to hear it right now by transcription. Here it is. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Here I am aboard the USS Brighton. New York Harbor is in a gala mood. Standing before me is Senator Billingsley and his lovely wife. Senator, have you a word to say about the Navy?
Fellow Americans, I can only say what I feel, and that is... Of course, that's just one man's opinion.
Yes, of course. And now, Mrs. Billingsley, would you give us the woman's point of view about the Navy?
Gladly. For 15 years, I've been... At least that's been my experience.
Well, thank you very much.
Dear, you forgot to mention...
Yes, because...
Senator, did you say...
No, I only meant...
Oh, I thought you said...
I heard you say...
This has been very interesting. I want to thank you, Senator. And you, Mrs. Billingsley. And on behalf of the public, may I say... Mr. Gallup, the sea. Is there a man listening in tonight who hasn't romantic memories of moonlit waters? When he gazed into the eyes of that one and only girl as he sang, we were sailing along, Jenny dear, on my way. Hey, hey, hey! You could hear the voices singing, and they seemed to say, what are you swaying about? Where was I? Oh, yes. Sailing along on moonlit bay. Golden memories of Cynthia, my little Navy sweetheart. The first time I saw you, Cynthia, I could tell you were a sailor girl. You had a bell-bottom nose. Remember when we met you on the high sea, Cynthia, how coy you were? You tried to get away from me, and what a fight you put up. You bent four of my harpoons. You bent four of my harpoons. That is not a Bob Hope joke. That is a No Hope joke. Remember. You wouldn't even give that to Crosby. Remember that first picture. Remember that first picture we took together, Cynthia? I stood beside you, and you were hanging upside down from the scale. You were hanging upside down from the scale. That I paid a fin for, that one. Beautiful, captivating Cynthia. Remember the time you had your face lifted, then the guy brought it back? Patriotic Cynthia. During the war, Cynthia, you worked with the Navy construction gang. You were a sea beast. How sad the Navy was when you left the service. How they could have used you in the backfield last Saturday against Pennsylvania. But it was the little things I remember about you. That faraway look that came into your eyes. That time that you were in that big gun swabbing it and they fired it. The tinkling little laugh when you came down on the Washington Monument. Boing! Your delightful little shriek every spring when they put you in dry dock to scrape off the barnacles. So until the last barnacle is off, remember when we sang love's old sweet song on moonlight.
Memphis, Tennessee, Buffalo, New York, Denver, Colorado, Portland, Oregon. Yes, from all over the country, there's news, big news. Listen.
From section after section, eminent nose and throat specialists report that the cigarette they suggest in cases of irritation due to smoking is Philip Morris.
Yes, these top-ranking nose and throat specialists actually suggest Philip Morris because they know Philip Morris is the one, the only leading cigarette proved definitely less irritating.
Remember, the cigarette that gives you the least irritation is the cigarette that gives you the most enjoyment. After all, it's pleasure, deep, rich pleasure that counts in smoking. And the full measure of smoking pleasure is yours to enjoy day in, day out in Philip Morris. That's why we say, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
That's the end? That's very good. That was Sailor's Hornpipe. That went quicker than my trip to Hollywood last year. That was Sailor's Hornpipe, part of it, played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra, and that was swell, Ray, what you played of it. You and your boys really pick things up around here, but you do better with a broom. I'm only kidding, Ray. That wasn't half bad, and it wasn't half good. If it was half as good as it was bad, it would be good and bad. Good joke, told it bad. And now, as we continue our salute to the Navy and men of the sea, we present...
Navy Forum tonight. The question, who rules the waves? Britannia, the United States, or Guy Lombardo?
What a blow for Princess Elizabeth. Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Let us proceed with questions from the floor and start the forum. All right, let's start with this tall gentleman here in the first row putting the leg makeup on his bald spot. Yes, sir?
Mr. Burrell, on behalf of the Navy, I thank you for your salute to Navy Day.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mr. Burrell, may we have your picture? We'd like to put it in every window in Washington.
In a frame for Navy Day?
No, in front of a candle for Halloween.
Thank you. Now, let us continue. All right, this young man here wearing the mohair knickers. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Forever Amber. Took the name when they kicked me out of Boston.
Oh, I see.
I'm a lot like the real Forever Amber.
Yeah?
She drove men nuts.
Yes?
I'm also a pest.
Yeah, I understand.
Forever Amber's not my real name.
It isn't. What is your real name?
Rose of Washington Square.
All right, Square. You have a question about the Navy?
Navy. Everybody's blabbing about the Navy.
Well, we're trying.
How about a couple of words about the good old U.S. Army?
Yeah, but that's not
the... I was in the Army for 4 years, Matt, and I'm telling you, that's living.
I know, but what...
All the spam you can eat and sleep until 5 every morning, that's the U.S.
Yeah,
Army.
But we're trying...
Who can take a snook like you and make a man out of him? The U.S. Army.
Look, young
man. Who can get feet and protect you against women? Who can get through the post cheaper than you can get at Bonnie? The U.S. Army.
Young man.
Your mother's bicycle.
Let us continue. Let's go on to the women. This young lady in the aisle slicing the calves' brains. Your name, please?
Hello, Lafini. I'm a homemaker.
And you have a question that has to do with the Navy?
Yeah, how can I stop my husband from making like a big Navy man? He drives me nuts.
Your husband acts like a Navy man?
You hate the big mo?
Yes.
He's a big schmo.
I see.
You hate a Popeye the Sailor Man?
Yes, I did.
He's Popeye the Sailor Man.
I understand.
He calls himself an old salt.
Old salt?
He must be. For years I've been trying to shake him. He bought himself a pair of sailor pants. He wakes in them pants, sleeps in them, eats in them.
Doesn't he ever take off the sailor pants?
With all them buttons, who's got time?
You're quite right.
He got no pockets in them pants.
No pockets?
That ain't a wallet bulging in the back. It's him.
Mrs. Feeney, please.
What a phony. He even had an anchor tattooed on his stomach.
He tattooed an anchor on his stomach?
Originally, it was on his chest, but since then, he's dropped anchor.
Tell me, Mrs. Feeney, does your husband take to the water?
Are you kidding? He gets seasick on the Sea Beach Express.
Doesn't water scare him?
He won't even get in a bathtub unless he got an inner tube.
The inner tube keeps him afloat?
Yeah, but I'm always leaving the air out.
And your husband sinks?
He certainly does.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Feeney. And now, as a fitting climax to our forum on Men of the Sea, let us salute the toughest and most rugged of all, the tugboat captains, the unsung heroes of the harbor. Our guest tonight is one of the most rugged of all those hardy sea dogs. Meet Captain Mike Featherfield. Captain Featherfield, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Thank you for this heartwarming opportunity to acquaint the public of the trials and tribulations we experience in plying our little tugboats around harbors and up various canals.
Well, Captain, tell us...
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. You mind if I sit down?
Sit down?
I'm pooped.
You're pooped? Well, tell me, Captain, what happened?
On the way here, I was kicked by a pigeon.
That's silly, Captain. How could a pigeon kick you?
Two of his friends held me down.
Oh, I see. Well, Captain, tell us something about the life of a tugboat captain.
Oh, it's heavenly, Mr. Burrell. All day long, I'm at the wheel, twisting and dodging, turning and dodging.
Dodging the big boats?
No, the seagulls.
Oh, I understand. Well, tell us something, Captain, about your boat.
It's a hefty tug, wide in the beam with broad, bulging sides. It's called the Peach Fuzz. I named it after my wife. Oh,
you mean your wife is...
As a barn door.
Oh, I see. Is there a place on the ship for your wife?
Yes, in the crow's nest with the rest of the old crows.
Oh, Captain, you seem so gay tonight.
Yes, laugh and be merry, because if my wife's listening in, tonight I die.
I see. Well, tell us, Captain, in dangerous work like yours, what precautions do you take?
We have a system of bells.
System of bells?
Yes.
I see.
There are bells that mean danger ahead. Other bells mean abandoned ship.
Oh, I see.
Then there are the bells every sailor fears. They mean abandoned hope. You haven't got a chance. You're a gone goose.
What bells are they?
Wedding bells.
Thank you very much, Captain Featherfield. And now here's our young singing star, Dick Varney, to sing his latest recording.
I still get jealous when they look at you. I may not show it, but I do. It's more than I can bear when they start to stare. Guess they think you're too good to be true. I still get jealous when we kiss goodnight. Unless you hold me extra tight. And dear, I know a secret you didn't know I knew. I still get jealous 'cause it pleases you. I still get
funny. You know, Mr. Gallup, I was just thinking, I mean, if it's possible, but all our talk tonight about boats and sailing reminds me of a boat trip I once took to Havana. Did I ever tell you about it?
Well, there was a story you told, and yeah. If I remember correctly, it was nauseatingly dull.
Well, that's the one. Well, that's it. I'll tell you about the story about the trip. I decided to take a 2-week cruise to Havana, Cuba, and I was all packed, about to say goodbye, and I
Hurry, Milton. The taxi that's taking you to the pier is waiting outside.
I'm ready, dear.
Milton, while you're in Cuba, will you please learn the rumba?
Oh, don't worry, I will.
I'm tired of the two of us getting out on dance floors and looking like the main event at Madison Square Garden.
Well, darling, when I come back, you won't be able to tell me from a romantic gigolo.
You want to bet?
Never mind. Goodbye, dear. I'll miss you.
Goodbye, Milton. Have a nice rest.
Oh, no. Oh, no, that corny knock. I know that knock. That's Sam Harrison and his wife, Martha, again. Come in.
Bon voyage. Hello, back you, landlubber. Hi, Milton.
Hi, Sam. Hello, Martha. Look, Sam,
heard you were going, I said to Martha, Milty and his wife are going to Cuba. Let's go over and say goodbye. That's what I said, isn't it, Martha?
Yes.
Well, it's nice of you, Sam, but I'm going to go to Havana all alone.
Alone?
Yeah.
All I know is I never go anywhere without taking Martha along. Isn't that right, Martha?
Yes.
Sam, please, don't start trouble.
Sam's right. I'm going along.
Sam, I'm ready. Look, darling, I already have my ticket. It was the only first-class ticket left.
Wait, I've got it. Say, Martha.
Yes?
Have you that travel agency pamphlet that came in the mail?
Yes.
Sam, please, would you do me a favor?
Look at this pamphlet, Milton. Special economy cruise. Tourist 8th class. Tickets available.
Tickets available? Let me see that pamphlet. It says, don't be a dope, travel by boat. Be classy. 8th classy. Hey, look, darling.
I'll be packed in a minute.
Oh, you thank me for this, Milty. Why, if I ever spent a night away from home, Martha would never get over it. Would you, Martha?
Yes.
Let's go.
All ashore, let's go on ashore.
We're off, Milton.
Boy, get a load of that ocean air.
That's the Fulton Fish Market.
I knew we shouldn't have left on Friday.
Excuse me, I'm the purser. May I see your ticket?
You're the purser?
Yeah.
Well, here they are. Special Economy Cruise 8th Class. Or as your pamphlet says, travel like a king.
What are you doing on deck?
Well, my wife... what do you mean, on deck?
This way, before the captain sees you. Step into this elevator.
Yes, sir. What elevator? The next time I hear someone say down the hatch, I'll know what they mean. Hey, darling. Darling, it's pitch dark down here. Here, let me take you by the hand. There.
Let go of my hand.
Darling, your horse.
Yeah.
Whose hand is this?
Mine. I'm the 8th class steward. In here, you two. This is your cabin. I'll open the door.
Cabin? Wait a minute. This is a dungeon. Get me the captain.
Get in there. Here's a tin cup. If you want any water, just clank on the door with it. Gunga Din comes through every 2 days.
Gunga Din? Wait a minute. What about food? The pamphlet said exquisite seafood daily.
That's right. There's a fishing pole and a can of worms under the bed.
Bed? Where's the bed? There's just a pile of straw in the corner.
That's it. And keep it tidy.
Look, someone's already asleep in it.
8th class passengers go free to a cabin. I'll make room for you. Hey, you, move over.
No, a cow. We're in steerage. Stuart, come back. Stuart, come back. Come back.
We're locked in. Milton, do something.
I'll do something. I'm going to kill that Sam Harrison if we ever get back. Shh. Darling, someone's scratching on the wall. Who is it?
It's me, in the next cabin. Got a cigarette?
A cigarette?
Stand up next to the transom so we can talk. Don't let the stewards hear it.
I won't. What are you in for? I mean, How do you do?
You eighth class?
Yeah, I'm eighth class. This is my first trip.
I'm a three-time loser myself.
Oh, gosh.
I used to be ninth class.
Ninth? But we're on the bottom now. How can there be a ninth class on the boat?
Who said on the boat?
You mean?
They gave me a diving helmet and a rope. I hung on the back.
Terrible.
In tenth class, you just get a rope. See you later.
Yeah, I'll see you. I gotta get out of here. Stuart! Stuart! I'm sorry I woke you, Dolly. Stuart! Stuart, 3 days and three nights. Darling, is breakfast ready yet?
In just a minute, Milton.
Easy, Elsie. Dear, save some milk for the man in the next cabin. Poor guy, he's in with a mule. Look, Dolly, at last, to Stuart, for being sprung.
Hey, what's all the racket?
Stuart, it's been 3 days. When do we get to Havana?
Havana? We were there yesterday. We're on our way back.
Fuck! We weren't even told.
Eighth class passengers aren't allowed off the boat.
Oh, no? Well, here's one guy that's getting off the boat. Open that porthole.
Milton, don't jump!
Man overboard!
Man overboard!
Man overboard!
Stop the boat! Hurter, what class is the man overboard?
Eighth class, sir.
Eighth class? We're wasting time! Full speed ahead! Full speed ahead!
I'll be back just as soon as I can get out of these wet clothes. In the meantime...
Remember this. You're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. And here's why. First, you enjoy the pleasure of smoking the world's finest premium tobaccos. Mellow and mild and superbly blended. And second, you enjoy the extra pleasure of smoking the one, the only leading cigarette recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. Yes, you're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. So next time you call for cigarettes, call for Philip Morris, made in America by Americans to please American taste.
Thank you very much. Well, that about winds up the mad merrymaking for tonight. Mr. Gallup, is there anything else? Anything you'd like?
Yes, your mother's bicycle.
Sorry, she's on duty tonight.
What a blow for Prince
Philip. All right, that's enough. Good night, everyone. Good night.
This is Johnny again, returning now from the thousands of store windows and counters all over America. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and... call for Philip Morris!
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. And now, goodbye, Johnny. See you next Tuesday, same time, same station, when Philip Morris will again present the Milton Berle Show. Until then...
Hello, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's it, 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation pipe tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.